My name is Miss B, and I am an author, a speaker, and a coach. I help families who have family members with addiction or mental health.
I understand that you've recently written a book.
Yes, I've written a book. It's called Deborah's Daughter, A Memoir of Perseverance Through Family Addiction. And it talks about the challenges that I've had growing up in the 80s during the crack epidemic and how it changed the relationship between me and my mom. I basically watched her go from a very independent, caring, nurturing matriarch to the opposite of that once the crack epidemic took effect.
We want folks to read the book.
Yes.
But can you tell us a little bit about that experience and how it led to the current career that you have?
As an entrepreneur, you spend a lot of time doing a lot of inward work. So I've always been a sensitive child. I've always been told, oh, you're a sensitive kid. When I was a little girl, I said I wanted to be a social worker or a nun. So I have my bachelor's and my associate's in human services. And then I started to work in the field of addictions in many different capacities, helping mothers get their children back once they gained some sobriety and some healthy coping skills if their children were removed. And I tried to get away from it. There came a time when I was about 15 years into it and I started to get burnt out. So I took a break. And the universe, I really believe this is where I need to be. So now I'm back into addictions and I'm back to helping families, but it's on a different level as a coach. Because a lot of times people don't realize when you have family members who are involved in alcoholism and addiction, when daddy gets sent upstate and he's doing time, the moms are doing time too. The grandmothers are doing time too. The kids are doing, they feel the same things. We're not in a prison like they are, but we're in a social prison and an emotional prison. A lot of times when there's a parent who is an addict, we can either play the hero and try not to be like them, or we can pick up those same behaviors. It's like we're almost like dry drunks. It's important that if you have a family member who's an addict, it's not all about them. You still have to live your life. So my purpose is to teach people you have to have like a self-recovery. While they're going through their recovery, you go through a self-recovery because there'll be ups and downs in their recovery. And if they relapse or if they're doing good, shouldn't depend on how you feel because they're going to go through cycles and it's a part of addiction. Addiction and recovery, it doesn't mean you're going to be clean for the rest of your life. A lot of people don't realize that. We learn through our relapses, and that's how they grow, and that's how they learn. So if you have a spouse and you know they're in recovery, you can't be like, well, you picked up again, it's over. That's not fair.
Right, because studies show that people go in and out of treatment many times.
Many times, and yes, exactly.
You know, before the messages begin to stick or before life circumstances change and they're able to make those changes for themselves.
Definitely, definitely.
So you struck out on your own and you started your own business.
Yes, yes. It's called Family Addiction Management. It's still in the startup phase. I am offering free services.
And so what do those services encompass? What should someone expect if they contact you for help?
When adults go into treatment, they have a treatment plan or a recovery plan, and it's very extensive and it's very long. Now, we identify together, me and the client, what their goals are going to be within the next 3 months regarding how they're going to deal with the family member's recovery. So I'm sure the person may trigger them or their different behaviors. You know the relationship better than I would, so you would identify, we would figure out together what triggers you, and you would have a safety plan and a health recovery plan that regardless of whatever that person, that family member is going through, that you are going to be at your ultimate wellness. You're still going to be able to be there for them, but more importantly, you're going to be there for yourself, regardless of what's going on with that family member. Now, it'll be different if there's a young child, because we do have adolescents that are in treatment and residential programs.
And you offer those services to parents who are dealing with,
yes,
with children
exactly,
in treatment as well.
Exactly, because you have sometimes kids, when they go off to college for the first time, they might not be that experienced with alcohol and drugs, and they may get kicked out of school. You know, just bringing that support to keep your sanity and help them at the same time.
So this work really grew out of your own personal experiences.
Yes.
Like I said, I do want people to read the book and
yes,
we'll tell them how to get it. But
yes,
can you talk a little bit about what you experienced and how that grew into the kind of services that you want to provide to others today?
Oh, yes. It was very transient. We just moved, homeless. There was no consistency.
Did you remain with your mother or were you?
I remained with my mom. And CPS, or Child Protective Services, they would come to the school and interview us, and there is a part in the book. There's a cultural law. What happens at home stays at home. You don't put your business in the street. And that's in the book, too, but I steadfast to that, so I didn't say anything. So they were monitoring us, but they couldn't really, and we moved around so much, so every time we came back, a new case would open. But it took, for me, once I had my daughter, it's like they put the pressure on, because I was 17 when I had her, and I was like, they're going to take this baby. They're going to take, and before they could take her, I'll tell you whatever you need to know. Get me and my baby out of here. You know how when it's cold in the wintertime and you can see your breath? We lived in a crack house. It was a rooming house, but everybody in there smoked crack. And it was winter.
This was when you had your
When I had my baby. It was how her first winter, she might have been about 9 months old. And it was so cold in the apartment. You could see the air. And my baby, she got sick. So I took her to the doctor. They sent her to the hospital. And when my baby was in those IVs and all those things like that, I said, help me. Help us get us out of here for this. So it was turning points like that. But before my daughter came along, it was me and my mother together. Then it was me and my sister together. Then my mother would leave with my sister. It was just very inconsistent. And also the relationship with me and my mom, she became very bitter, very angry, and very, very mean toward me.
After the CPS intervention?
No, basically pretty much from 12 to 17, it was bad. It was almost like she had a real detest, like a real hate for me. And it was different before. It wasn't the best, but once that happened, it really kind of catapulted.
What's your relationship like with your mother today?
Now, my mother has transitioned on. Right before she passed, our relationship did heal. I've been forgave her. I'm learning that there's levels to forgiveness. I thought I was doing pretty good, and God or the universe revealed to me there's still some stuff that I got to work on to truly forgive her. But before she passed away, she did give her life to Christ, and she came into her own healing. So the book doesn't tell the whole story. It just tells, this is a part of the story, and there is a time where we do come together that was the catalyst for healing our relationship. So the book doesn't tell everything, but it tells enough where you get the gist. I realized that my mother does love me. She did love me, and she did the best she could under the circumstances, Reaganomics. I can only imagine, because we lived pretty well, to be living in a house with all your children. We had a great backyard in Long Island. We even had a housekeeper. We had a wonderful time. And then I remember the landlord, he came, he was a Nassau County cop. He would always come in his uniform and get his rent. And I was just running through the living room, and my mother said, I'll burn this house down before I let you sell it. So for some reason, we just had to move after that. And I think that's what it was. I think just the transition of uprooting her children, because we all were separated then.
Was there a point at which your relationship with your mother changed?
There were so many points, but the one that kind of stood out for me was I was kind of in my element, feeling myself, you know, I got my good state job, and, you know, she's staying with me, and my brother's staying, and I'm doing really good. And life humbled me. I had an experience where I needed my mother. I needed her. In the middle of her crackness, she stopped everything and made room and made time to listen to me. And that what made me realize that she does care and she does love me. And then after that, about a year later, just me trying to put the pieces back together, I ended up staying with her. So it was kind of like, okay, because you get to the point, you're always going to need your mother. Yeah. You always will need your mother.
You're always going to need your mother.
Yes, yes.
Do you remember your mother being a drug user your entire life?
No. There's some young people that I grew up with who kind of read the book, and we're putting notes together because their parents succumbed to it too. I would say from 12 until 40 something.
Were there any repercussions for you kids as the kids of, there was a lot of stigma in the 1980s around people who used drugs, particularly crack in the African American community. And I'm wondering whether you felt that stigma yourself as a child.
I felt it only because, like, I knew and I wondered if everybody else knew. It wasn't necessarily being teased, but just scared that if anybody knew, I would be so embarrassed. I remember having a lot of friends, and they were not allowed to come to my house. Their parents would not allow them to come. Mm-hmm. I remember one morning, me and my sister were on our way to school, and I don't know what happened the night before, but someone got mad, and they spray-painted crack house with red spray paint on the side of the house. And I remember being so, I'm like, oh, my God, all the kids are going to see this as we walk to school. And my sister just looked at me, just like, let's just go.
Do you think that your mom had access to the kind of services that she may have needed to bring her addiction under control?
That's a good question. I never thought about it.
One of the things we see, particularly in the African-American community, is over-intervention by the state. Child protective workers coming in and separating families.
Yeah.
We've certainly talked about that on this show.
Yes.
Do you wish the state had intervened sooner? Or on the flip side, do you feel like the life that you had with your mom, are you grateful that you were able to stay with your mother?
I am grateful. There is no mistaking. I was meant to have that experience. And I don't know if she knew about other types of services, if she would have took advantage of it. Because I know now they have women and children centers, but with five children, what I can only imagine.
It must have been difficult to contemplate writing a book about such a private experience that you had.
Yes, that's why I was working on it for so years, picking it down, putting it up, picking it in. And then when I had the opportunity, it's almost like I felt pregnant. It was like, I have to give birth. I have to do this now. Like, people are waiting for this. Like, people need to know they're not alone and they can survive. You can live a healthy, well life if you have experienced that. And even if you're an addict, you can live a well life if you're educated about the disease of addiction and if you know yourself.
How can folks get a copy of the book?
Well, the book is on Amazon. It's called Deborah's Daughter, A Memoir of Perseverance Through Family Addiction. And it's by myself, Bernadette Willis, Miss B.
What a story. Well, thank you so much for coming into the studio.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity. This is awesome.